Okay, so in theory, that thing is recording.
Okay. All right, called order of Public Safety Committee for Junction, for the City of Junction City, Tuesday, June 19th, 2018, 6:30 p.m. Kara McDaniels is, Counselor McDaniels is excused tonight.
Okay. Need to add one change to the agenda. One topic I'd like to talk about is getting a no conflict of interest with the attorney for merging Monroe Municipal Court into Junction City Municipal Court. So if you want to put that on the number, we can talk about it right now, or we can.
Let's just go ahead and talk about it right now.
Right now, when we are issuing citations up in the city of Monroe, all of that, any citation we issue and that the court collects money on goes all entirely to Monroe Municipal Court. Also, we cannot, Monroe Municipal Court cannot handle criminal cases. So any DUII, any misdemeanor, driving while suspended, hit and run, any kind of a misdemeanor crime has to be routed to Benton County Circuit Court. Again, thereby we don't get the money. If we merge Monroe Municipal Court into Junction City Municipal Court, with whatever agreement we would, IGA, that we would put into place, we would in fact get a portion of that fee, so it would be a fee split. They would cover a portion of the court clerk fees, they would cover a portion of the judge's fees, and we would get a portion of that money. And we could also do criminal cases in Monroe. It's like right now, DUII is $6,250 is the ticket. Hit and run is $6,250. Attempt to elude is $6,250. That would be money that would be coming into our court instead of us giving it away to Benton County Circuit Court. And then any citations that we would issue for anything, we would get a portion of that fee and they would do a fee split with us. City of Monroe is very interested in doing this. Our court's interested in doing it and exploring it. In order for the attorneys to discuss this and look at what the pros and the cons and the legalities of this are, they need to have a release from us, just like we did with the contract when we did the policing services contract, that the city would sign a, no, I can't remember exactly what the wording is, but a non-compete agreement where the city would, both the city of Monroe and the city of Junction City would agree to allow them to, since we're both represented by Spear Hoyt, Monroe and us are represented by Spear Hoyt, we would do a it's not non-compete, I can't think of where I'm looking for it. But I think that that's advantageous economically to us in a multiple list of areas, not just from the police department, but also for the courts, and also for any probation services that we may offer in the future, anything like that, any work release, that type of stuff. I think it just makes logical business sense from a business case to actually do that. And so what I would like to do and propose is recommend that we push this to the council for full approval, with a recommendation for approval just to sign the waiver so that it could be explored. It's not, we're not moving forward with the contract, we're not moving forward with the merger. It is simply just allowing us the ability for our attorneys to take a look at it and say, yes, this would work, no, it would not.
Okay. Any questions, Jeff?
No, sounds good to me.
Are you good?
The lawyers, they'll talk it out and bring back.
Correct.
AIS.
Correct. Yeah, and then once, so we'll have an AIS on the council, on the council agenda that just allows us to sign the agreement to where they can actually work, you know, they can actually do work on both of our behalves.
Right.
Monroe and Junction City, and they can take a look at the legalities of it.
See if it works.
And see if it works and see if there's any issues where it wouldn't. But In talking to the judge up there, he thinks it would be a good idea, even though he realizes it would put himself out of a job. He said it just makes sense. He said, you guys are doing the policing, it would save our officers having to go over there for court, or worse yet, have to go to Benton County for court. Everything would be here, it would be housed in one place. It's just financially, it's just one more things that we can deal with from an economy of scale. Their court is rarely busy. Our court right now is just starting to pick up. It just makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Okay.
I guess we should approve the minutes here real quick.
Yep.
They're good to me.
Yeah, I didn't see, have any issues with them, so.
Okay, minutes approved. In the packet, you will see that there is the Springfield Police Jail contract. The only change to the contract is a $10 per night, per bed increase. If you look at a percentage over the total amount, going from 80 to 90, I mean, you want to do a percentage, it's a little, you could say it's high, but just the cost of doing business, the cost of personnel, the cost of PERS and everything else, $10 is nothing.
And do you think your budget's got it covered?
Yeah. Yeah. And so what would ultimately like a recommendation to move it to the council,
take it to council
for approval. So there's two options in their recommended approval motion, if you want to.
With just two of us, I don't think we're really in motion. But yeah, I think we should just take it to council.
So we good with that?
Yeah.
Let me ask just one quick question.
Yes, sir.
They give us 1 to 2 under that 90 a day. How many more can we get? Is there an extension of that?
They have been very, very congenial. When we've had people where we've needed more space, they have gone way out of their way. And also there are some guidelines that people that they typically won't take. They won't take people that are pre-adjudicated. So like if they're awaiting trial, they don't really want to take them. They have not once turned us down.
Okay.
They have gone way above and beyond for helping us and being willing to be congenial and work with us.
That's good.
And actually they have underbilled us a couple times intentionally, just saying we're just gonna call it good. Where we've had somebody that's been particularly problematic, they're willing to do that. So I think it's a really super good partnership that we've got going with them. And although this isn't on the agenda, it kind of fits in here, so I'm gonna stick it in here. Something that we have seen over the past 2 weeks, really particularly, more so in pieces here or there, is the partnerships that we have forged with surrounding agencies, Union Pacific Police, Department of Homeland Security, University of Oregon Police Department, Lane County Parole and Probation. They are, a number of them, actually all of them are using our range, which is something that they've never been invited to do before. We have gone and helped University of Oregon. They had some rape robberies that were occurring. We actually provided some people to go over and help them work undercover operations. They're willing to pay the overtime costs that it costs, you know, our people. They actually reimbursed for that. They have come over a couple different times, most recently for the school thing, and did not charge us a dime. Lane County Parole and Probation, their office is presently over at 840 Holly Street, which is in the apartments right out here. They're in the lower level apartment. Thank you from the gallery out there pointing the right direction. The reason that they are, I was told the other day, the reason that they're in the 840 Holly apartments is a former administrator formally evicted them from the police department and told them they had to find other office space. And that forced them, because that was the only thing that they could find. We have actually forged a very solid partnership. Their officer that's in town has been out for Function for Junction both nights. He came out and helped provide security at the school. They're using the range right now. They're having to pay an exorbitant cost for the range. They're being able to use ours. We're inviting them, once we get the building remodeled, we're gonna invite them to come back and be in our office space. It's to our advantage and their advantage to do that. And again, particularly with the school issue, I am so profoundly happy with the relationships that we've built with the surrounding agencies, that they are now coming to us. Lynn County Sheriff's Office, they have been more than responsive to come out, both for the graduation, and as you can see from this article, I don't know if you guys have seen that yet, but that's a list or a picture of some of the cars that were out there. We had people in the stands from Union Pacific Police that were undercover during your graduation. If you were there, you did not see a huge presence at the graduation, but we had, I think it was 14 people on site.
Wow.
At the graduation, we intentionally kept it very low-key and were as much out of sight as we possibly could. People could look around and see one or two, but we had people completely surrounding the entire thing and people in the stands that were very well set and prepared to intervene. During the actual day after this kid was released, the Monday that school started, at the request of Kathleen, we had an incredibly strong presence in the school. You walked up there and people would have had to, if they would have come in, they would have had to have shot their way into the school to do any shooting, because at Kathleen, the superintendent's request, we were had our rifles displayed and we were out there and we were protecting the students. We did not hear a single negative comment on Facebook or anywhere else for us being there, and in fact got a number of accolades saying they were glad that the police department had responded, that we took it seriously, that we were there to protect our kids. Nothing negative, and we were actually expecting something, but there was nothing. And that was very pleasing to me to see that.
Yeah, good deal.
That kind of, yes sir. Did you have something, Jack?
No, I'm just...
That kind of goes into the next thing. National Night Out has been a nationwide project for a number of years, and what it is intended to do is bring communities and law enforcement together to help with neighborhood watch activities, to help with crime prevention activities. Junction City, to my knowledge, has never done anything like that. So it is the first Tuesday of August nationwide. We're looking at probably doing it from 5 to 9, 5 to 10, somewhere in that neighborhood. We are partnering with all of our local agencies. We're going to get University of Oregon, all of the people that I mentioned. They are going to have representatives there. Ophelia's Place is going to have a table there. A lot of the community aid organizations are going to be there and have a presence. And we are going to have some different courses on different things, crime prevention stuff at different booths. I'm looking at a relatively famous vocal artist come in and do some performance for us. I haven't locked that down yet, so I'm not at a point that I really want to announce that. But I want to make this a very, very fun event. I want to make this inviting to the community and try and work on getting a much stronger partnership, continuing to work on a stronger partnership between the community and the police department. And that, again, kind of dovetails very much with what I was just talking about, our partnerships with the local law enforcement agencies, which we haven't had for years. I think engaging everybody helps. It puts faces to the name. We're out there at a time when not all police departments are looked at nicely, and that there isn't a good relationship, and that's something that I don't see that so much in Junction City, but I want to make sure that we can actually and keep that going and keep that pace going.
Yeah.
And that is kind of going to go kind of going to go hand in hand with us trying to at some point in the near future bring back the community meetings. They called them sector meetings. I think we might change the name of it. It sounds a little bit more friendly. Sector sounds awful formal and rigid, and I think that what we're going to do. But at the same time, at those community meetings, engage other city departments like Public Works and invite them to be a participant in it, because that way we're getting more bang for the buck. We're inviting other departments. Oftentimes, stuff that's brought up in those meetings that doesn't, in fact, involve the police department, whether it be streets or street lights or holes in the streets or whatever it may be, library-based stuff. This way, if we can get all of the city entities involved, it just puts everybody in the same place at the same time, and in theory, all of the people that can or should be able to make decisions or give information on a particular topic are at the table, so to speak, at the same time. It's that kind of dovetails into that. Mm-hmm. The community-based incentive program, which I think is the last thing that's on the agenda here, is geared at doing basically the same thing. A formal name, it's community policing, but if you will note in red on the agenda, there's stuff that we are already doing to address these different components within the community. We're trying to, again, build a cadre of services that the city can't afford to do on their own. The former ESCOP program, I think that's invaluable. Like I'd mentioned at the city council meeting, the volunteers that we have right now, we've got three really what I would call hardcore volunteers that are providing very specialized services to us just since, I want to say April, I may be wrong on that, but I think just since April, have provided a value of about $14,000 worth of services to the city that we could not have afforded to have paid. Mm-hmm. Whether it be work on the radio, we've got a photographer that's doing all the photography work. There's also one that's not in here, a videographer that's actually helping us do a video that will be both a promotional video for the website that just kind of talks about the overall community as a whole from the police department perspective, but it will also double some of that footage, will also double as a recruiting video that we can use at different events that we want to engage in. There's a number of job fairs that we could go to, but I don't want to go there right now because everybody else comes in with robots and helicopters and all these fancy things and fancy handouts, and I just don't have anything, and I would rather not go versus go and just have a table. That makes us look at a deficit. Having this recruiting video, again, and that's not even here, that's probably another $10,000 in and of itself. And I totally forgot that when I was putting this together the other night. So what I'm trying to do is slowly build back, I don't think we'll call it ESCOP, but something like that. Get the volunteers back in there, get the reserves moving back in there. As we build the infrastructure that can support it and adequately manage it. I don't want to start something that I can't manage and most certainly that I can't control.
Right.
And so that's why we're doing it incrementally, but that's the direction that we're going.
Sounds good.
Great.
You guys have any other questions? That's kind of a snapshot.
Curious on just how's the remodel? Is the remodel,
we're waiting for the inspector to get fully up and running as soon as he's fully on board and can actually do the inspections. We're looking at that within the next, I think within the next 30 days at the longest. Okay. That I don't have a solid handle on that because that's not my department. But
right.
As soon as we're good to go. He's already seen the plans. He's got them in his hands. He says that as far as he sees that there's no problem with them. We've already got the design work done. The design work, I think the value of that was $3,000 and they donated that. So we've already got the building designed. We've got the furniture sitting up at Public Works waiting to put in there. It's just a point of, putting some separating walls in here and carpeting and painting it and making it look nice. So a very, very simple remodel, punching a hole through the door, through the wall so we can access it, obviously.
Right.
And then as soon as we get the patrol room moved into there, then we will start working on dispatch and moving dispatch into the patrol
room. Is that a pretty easy move? I know there's a lot of equipment. I didn't know.
Conceptually, it is. I mean, we want to probably put some carpeting in there and just some stuff, but running the wires and making sure that everything is in place. So it's just a plug and play and move one station at a time. I mean, that's a relatively simple move.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not ripping down walls. We're not having to rip up floors. It really is just a point of doing cable management, making sure we've got the cables in place. and then getting the furniture, and that's a relatively simple move. One of our applicants went in yesterday, and he passed the background, went in for the psych, he passed the psych, he goes for his medical tomorrow morning, and other than that, he's good to go, and we've got one to hire, we've got another one that's going in for his psych tomorrow, so I should know by tomorrow night if he passes the, I think it's tomorrow night, if he passes the psych. If he does, he has a medical appointment on Friday. We've got a, I've got a retired person coming up from Jacksonville. He has passed the psych. He is coming up tomorrow night. He's coming up Thursday morning. We're gonna do some range stuff. We're gonna get him his uniform. We're gonna send him over for the medical. Assuming he passes the medical, he'll be with a training officer for 3 weeks or so. And then he will be released on his own and can provide coverage. He's a 28-year police officer that can actually provide some stopgap coverage until, it's not gonna be permanent.
Right.
He made that really clear to me. He's doing it as a favor. But he will be able to provide some staffing relief, which will help. And then Brandon graduates from the academy on the 13th of July.
What's his training program set up? How long is he with a TO?
He's already been with an FTO for, I want to say, 3.5-4 months.
Okay.
He comes out, and then I would guess probably a month and a half to 2 months, depending on how well he does.
Okay.
And again, it's kind of like a crystal ball. I can't forecast that.
But he's doing well at school.
But he's doing very well there. I've got nothing but positive compliments on him. And he was doing phenomenal here as well. Super good attitude, always a smile on his face.
No more accidents, huh?
I'm sorry?
No more accidents. But he and him and his family involved in an accident?
Oh, yeah, they got rear-ended. Gonna say, he hasn't crashed into anything. No, somebody crashed into him. But off-duty, not in a police car.
Okay.
But they are doing well. So.
Anybody, since we're here, anybody in the audience have anything?
Oh, I was just gonna say, if I may, that the whole concept of community meetings where everybody's there and talking and getting good information, that kind of like sounds like Facebook, only real.
Yeah.
So I've been to some of those meetings, and people do ask questions, and then the policeman is like, well, I would be glad to help you, but I don't know about that.
Yeah.
The streetlight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or why something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had some sector meetings like that up at the fire station over the apartment complex over here. Like on Facebook, you speak of that as a local thing. You know, there's a NASCAR racetrack going in up at the Y. Still
yeah.
Tractor sales.
Yeah.
Some people have a sense of humor.
Yeah. Something that I have been actually relatively successful with, I have seen posts on Facebook, a number of them, that I will not respond on Facebook. It is an absolute losing proposition.
Yeah.
But what I will do is call people on the phone and invite them out for coffee. And in particular, in relation to this incident, we had a woman that I saw was making posts on Facebook that we had come into her house and that we had yarded her child out of his bed and had basically manhandled him, and
yeah.
We were in the house and interrogating him. And so I called her on the phone. And I said, I would welcome you to come down. I had the body cam footage. And I said, I really want you. She said, well, no, if you're willing to let me see the video, I have no interest. I don't need to come down. I said, no, I want you to come down and I want you to look at this video. And I said, after you do that, if you're willing, I will take you over to a restaurant and I will buy you lunch because I would love the opportunity to talk to you. Well, the police department has a horrible reputation. I said, but I'm new. You've never met me. And she admitted that. I said, you've never had any engagement. I said, please, for if nothing else, for your own peace of mind, I want you to come down and take a look at the video and see what's there. And she came down, and based on the information she was given, her Facebook post, it was very clear that we were in that house for an extended period of time, and we did a major investigation. The from the time we went through on our video, from the time we went through the front door to the time that we exited the front door was 23 to 24 seconds. And no one was touched, no one was handled, no one was interrogated. As soon as we realized that it was the wrong person. As soon as we realized that, we were in, we were out, and she was very shocked to see that. She was incredibly grateful that I actually had called her down, and she said that she was sorry, and she actually went on Facebook and retracted that.
I saw that, yeah.
And I ran into a gentleman last night that also, just at the store, I was buying dinner actually, and was talking about how horrible the police department was. And he's talking about a time that was 2 years ago, and I said, I'm new. And he says, well, you're just as bad as the rest of them. And I said, give me a chance. And so I stood and talked to him for almost an hour and a half in the parking lot. I invited him to come down and ride with me. And he is going to come down, I think tomorrow, he's gonna come out and ride with me in the morning. And I'm gonna go buy him breakfast. And he said, at the end of it, he thanked me for taking the time. He was surprised I was willing to talk to him for that length of time. And he said, clearly, it's different than what it used to be. So what I'm trying to do is, one at a time, as I see people, try and put a face to the department and let people make their own determinations as to what's real and what's fiction. And I think that that's going to be the only way that we can really combat the information that's being put out in any kind of mass form.
Yeah. Good.
Good idea.
Yeah, that's great.
Other than that, I don't have anything.
Okay. You have any questions on the agenda for Pastor?
No, only just one. Where do we stand on the SRO?
I am meeting with Kathleen on Thursday at 9 o'clock, 9:30, I can't remember which, to determine exactly what they're doing. They've got $40,000 that's earmarked. I think that what occurred this past week radically changed their opinion and their perception of the services that we could provide. They were profusely throughout the day grateful for what we were doing. Brian Young, one of the co-principals, is actually taking over security for the schools. And he had mentioned that he was surprised at the response that we got. He said that he did not think that we would ever be able to respond like that. And I think that it was clear to them that having us engaged and having us providing the SRO services, as opposed to somebody from a private security firm or something else, I think they're seeing that that is the most logical thing. Now, that may change. I don't know that that is for a fact, but in talking to them, I know that they had nothing but positive accolades for us and comments for everything that we had done and the response. And again, they were candidly surprised when they come out there in the morning, and you can see right here from the pictures that, I mean, everywhere you looked, there was a cop.
And people were saying that, too. You know, there's not only derogatory remarks on there, but the people, where did all these people come from, you know? That's the problem that I have. People ask me questions, and I say, talk to this person, talk to Jason, talk to you. Well, you know, you should know the answer. Well, if I did, I'd tell you. You know, you're not a hands-on, you know, I don't know what you're doing every day. I don't know what Jason's doing every day. But people call, or they show up at my house. I used to have a neighbor that would do that quite often. She doesn't live in town anymore, but she was a nice lady. People, if you could broadcast what you're doing every day, it would cut down on a lot of the supposition and whatever, you know. How do you do that? I don't know.
And again, what I'm doing is through the channels that I am building, through the channels, we're trying to do that. That's the exact thing we're trying to do. What does that look like, and what is the mechanism, Jack? I don't know.
No.
But what I am doing is when I see somebody And I've been able to turn five or six people around that absolutely detested us. They were blasting us on Facebook. And after spending some time with me and with other people from the department, they realized, hey, these guys really aren't that bad. And
well, this thing that you're going to have, was it Saturday, right?
Correct, that's human trafficking.
That's the second annual, right?
Correct.
So we should get a pretty good response to that.
I'm hoping that we do. Yeah. A little late in broadcasting it. I mean, it's been out there. We've had the date out there, but we're working aggressively to get, you know, our partners there. Little late. Sir Optimus didn't have the time to get the message out. But the people that we have on the agenda, I think it'll be really good. We've got a former police officer whose daughter was actually a victim of sex trafficking. And so even the cop didn't know it was happening. So that demonstrates that it can happen to anybody. Jackie Garrity, who is the evening news personality on KVAL, is going to be our MC. KVAL is actively involved in it. So I'm hoping we get a good turnout. Actually, this guy last night that absolutely hates the police department owns a radio station or runs a radio station in Albany. And he is making some commercials for me, and he's going to be airing those between now and Saturday.
Okay.
And they come down as far as, he said, Harrisburg, depending on the time of the day and the weather, he said that their station, and I can't remember what the name of it is, but he said that their station actually will hit down as far as Harrisburg and won't make it to Junction City. But I'm trying to get Monroe. I'm trying to get Harrisburg. I'm trying to get Halsey. I want everybody in the community because we're all in this together, and I think that all of these people are affected. I know all of these people are affected by the exact same people because they're driving down the same roads.
Yeah, like me. I was gonna say, I know that when they started to design the new high school here, you gave suggestions as to how to make it more secure, and I don't think they were real receptive. Do you think they're more receptive since they're still building it?
I don't have an answer for you. That was one of the things I'm actually going to ask Kathleen. Again, money comes into any of this, and it comes. It's just a reality.
Sure.
The financial piece of it is a reality. And so I don't want to be too quick to judge, you know, why they were or were they not receptive. I think in my conversations over the past month with Kathleen, I think that she's become more aware of the realities of this, and with the recent school shootings, I think that it's starting to hit home more. I believe it was the same night that we took this kid into custody.
Uh-huh.
And we had him locked up within 20 to 30 minutes of us getting the call. We had him contained. I believe, and I don't know for positive, but I believe the exact same night they had an active shooter, a kid that was shooting out in Veneta at the high school. They had a kid that I heard the county going out there, and I think it was the exact same night. I'm relatively certain that there was nobody that was injured, but he was actually shooting I think it was the high school in Veneta, because I know that everybody and their brother was running out there.
Mm-hmm.
But we obviously were tied up with this, so this was our priority, so we didn't go or have anything to do with it. It may have been the week before, honestly. Time is kind of blurry in my head, so it could have been the week before. But they did at one point have an active shooter that was out there.
All of the principals and everybody you're talking to.
Yeah. So.
Okay. I'm good.
Me too.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right. Meeting adjourned at 7:04.